Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to Market View on Money FM 89.3. We kick off Market View's week with Jeff Howie, market strategist from the SGX. And we'll bring him into the conversation right after I do this really quick trot around the region. I'm Clarissa Montero for the workday afternoon. The Straits Times Index is down by 0.2% at 3,286 points. Japan's Nikkei also in the red, down by 0.1%. South Korea's Kospi also joining the red team, down 1.4%. Australia's ASX down by 0.5%. Hong Kong's Hang Seng down by 0.1%. The Shanghai Composite Index, the only player on the green team that we track. We bring Jeff Howie into the conversation. This is a results reporting earnings heavy week. But I suppose the biggest number that everybody was looking at would be Singapore's CPI.
Yeah, that's just been released 12 minutes ago. So the number that came in, it was a little higher than expectations, but not too different from November. So the CPI gauge was for December and showed a 4% year-on-year growth. That's marginally higher than the 3.8% recorded in November. So the core measure registered a 2.1% gain in December. That was compared to a 1.6% year-on-year gain in November. A little bit of deceleration on a month-on-month basis. But as you know, this was looked at the October policy meeting of the MAS, and they noted core inflation would actually come in higher this year than it did last year. So the forecast range was for, I guess, the upper end of the range for last year, from 0 to 1% for core, and it was expected to further increase to 1 to 2% in 2022. So we are seeing that as we go into 2022. The increases in the core inflation we saw back in the second half of last year were, of course, on the back of this increase in global commodity prices. And that, of course, passes through to us as consumers through electricity, gas tariffs, non-cooked food inflation, and so forth. Now, CPI, as you said rightly, Clarissa, we were looking at it. It's been looked at all around the world. The UK inflation rate, it came in at a 30-year high for December. I think it was 4.8% for the UK. It's obviously being watched very closely in the US as well. So on the CPI front, the next number will be released on the 10th of Feb. That will be for the US CPI in January. So it's had an effect in the pretty important impact in the stock market too as well, because like bank stocks, energy stocks really have led the global stock market over the first 3 weeks of the year. So Brent crude oil, it's up this morning around 2% from the Friday Asia close. So at the moment, it's around $88.70 US a barrel, and that brings the year-to-date gain to around 14%. Now, our two oil and gas explorer and producer stocks that we tap regularly on this segment that do trade among the 50 most traded Singapore stocks, RH Petrogas and Rex International, they are up 2% for RH Petrogas and up 5% for Rex International this morning in the morning session. Now, that's boosted their year-to-date gains, RH Petrogas to 14%, Rex International to 10%. Meanwhile, also in the energy segment, Geo Energy Resources is up 1.5% this morning at 36 cents. That's after it rallied 8% on Friday to 35.5 cents on Friday. Basically, the group had reported that the Indonesian Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources, it had given notification on the 20th of January for the lifting of coal export sale bans for 139 coal mining companies, which included three of the group's coal mines. So close to 60% of Geo Energy Resources revenue back in the first half of last year was associated with exports to China. So it's interesting, those three stocks, just for some, I guess, comparisons or context, those three stocks, so far this year they've seen combined around 10 million Singapore dollars a day in trading turnover. Now, that's pretty close to what a company like City Developments trades in daily turnover. However, when you look at RH Petrogas, Rex International, and Geo Energy Resources, they maintain a combined market value or market capitalization, which is only 1/6 of the size of City Development. So we see quite a lot of investor participation in these energy stocks on a day-to-day basis. But nonetheless, again, today, we're picking up from where we were on Friday. The day started more in the red at around 7 a.m. this morning with the Asia Opens. However, we have seen risk appetite gradually pick up a little through to lunch. The overnight futures on the S&P 500, they're up around 0.7% following the 1.9% decline of the index on Friday. And that index really was weighed by the consumer discretionary sector. It was led by Netflix reporting its slowest year of growth since, I think it was 2015, while the tech sector, which makes up 30% of the index, saw around 2% decline. So a little bit more of the same, if you will. Energy stocks, bank stocks really have led the global stock market for the first 3 weeks of the year. Technology, healthcare and REITs on the other side have lagged the global benchmarks. Now, given the STI's strong weighting to banks, this benchmark here in Singapore, it has ranked as the third strongest of all the major benchmarks across the world over the past 3 weeks, very closely following the Brazil market and the Hong Kong market. So reason being, of course, is that bank exposure. As of the end of December, the three banks, they made up 45% of the STI weightings, and that compares to the FTSE All World Index that takes basically all the world's biggest stocks that make up around all major global stock markets. Banks in that index only make up 7%, but technology makes up 25% of the All World Index, where we only have the one tech stock, Venture Corp. So what have we seen for the first 3 weeks of the year? Because of the way these indices are mapped to their sectors, for the first 3 weeks, the SDI generated a 5.5% return, while conversely, the FTSE All World Index declined 5.5%. Obviously, the All World Index having all that exposure to technology, very little exposure to banks, and on the flip side, the SDI having all that exposure to the banks and less exposure to technology.
All right, the banks today started in the red. DBS is the only one in the green right now. UOB, OCBC still in the red. They had a fantastic run, though.
Yeah, exactly. And these three stocks, DBS, OCBC, and UOB, they make up 20% or 1/5 of our combined market value of all stocks listed on the exchange, as well as 1/5 of the day-to-day turnover. And they have seen very similar net institutional inflows over the first 3 weeks of the year. It's totaled $680 million across the three banks. And that's been a key driver of the total net institutional inflows into all the Singapore-listed stocks so far this year, which over the past 3 weeks has totaled around $705 million. So in terms of the inflows, you've got OCBC Bank seeing $240 million of net inflows. It's had an 8% total return over those 3 weeks. UOB saw $220 million of net institutional inflow. It was up 13% for the 3 weeks. DBS up 9% with $217 million of net inflows. And that follows their average 24% gains last year. So banks, of course, the reason being is it's all connected in a way. You know, it's energy stocks driving inflationary pressures higher, which of course increases expectations of interest rate hikes, which also leads to the banks basically outperforming or leading the stock market so far. But it's not all banks too. It's interesting that the fourth stock, the stock that ranks fourth place in terms of seeing the most net institutional inflow so far this year is none other than Singtel. And Singtel's seen over the past 3 weeks around 125 million Singapore dollars of net institutional inflows, and it has also generated a 7% gain in its share price from $2.32 at the end of last year to around $2.48 at present. Now, you might recall back on the 11th of November, the company reported its first half financials, its first half for its FY22, so that's right through to the end of 30th September. It reported its net profit more than doubled year on year to around 950 million Sing. And the company actually attributed that result to its ongoing strategic reset to develop new growth engines in firstly ICT and secondly digital services. So that ICT arm, NCS, it's changed its revenue mix significantly, particularly over those 6 months ending 30th September. I think the digital revenue grew by something like 36%, which now contributes close to 50% of NCS's total revenue. So it was actually performing pretty good going into last year, in that on a comparison basis, for the 25 APAC telecommunications stocks with a market value of more than $10 billion, Singtel ranked among the top five performers of the 25 over the past 3 weeks, but it also ranked among the top 10 of those 25 in the last 6 months of last year. So, as we said, it performed well at the back end of last year, basically on that strategic reset. And this is obviously a common theme. We can talk on one half of the coin about the Singapore stocks and all the macro influences and global trends, but on the other side of the coin, we also have these strategic initiatives to increase shareholder value. Semcorp Industries, that also ranks... that ranks as number 7 in terms of stocks that have seen the highest net institutional inflows so far for the first 3 weeks of the year. It also ranked among the top 10 stocks that saw the highest net institutional inflows back in 2021. And that stock has gained from $2 at the end of last year to around $2.21 this morning. It's going to be reporting its full year results in about 4 weeks or so, I think, before the Wednesday 23rd. Of February open. And for its first half, it also reported a turnaround net profit. I think it was $46 million in the first half of its FY21 ending 30 June, which compared to a net loss of $42 million for the same period in 2020. It has really pressed on with its strategic transformation of its portfolio, though, from the brown to the green energy, and that included that announcement back on the 14th December, I think it was, that it was Semcorp Energy UK, its wholly owned subsidiary, was announced its plan to build Europe's largest battery energy storage system to help the UK achieve its basically its net zero target. So, there's always something going on in terms of today, which market really has been leading Asia. It really has been the China market. CSI 300 was pretty much in the green from the go-get. From 9 a.m. and it has stayed in the green. While if you look a lot across the leaderboard, the Nikkei is now slightly in positive territory. CSI 300 stays in there, and TIEX is up a little as well. With the semiconductor stocks not really adding to last week's declines, but gaining a little bit so far this today. But obviously China, as we said, has been stronger, and of course there's a good reason for that. There's all the monetary policy support that we saw last week. We saw the accommodative moves by the PBOC. Its one-year loan prime rate was cut. Its five-year rate was lowered on Thursday, and that followed that move from the one-year medium-term lending facility rate accommodation, which was made on the Monday last week. So that key move that we saw last Monday, that was the first reduction in almost 2 years. So that was really accounting for the CSI 300's gain last week. And, of course, the central bank has also been noting it will look to bolster the slowing economy and so forth. And there's fiscal measures going on. We've seen structural measures with regulation, and hence that has basically seen CSI 300 be one of the stronger regions so far this morning as well as last week.
All right. I have a question, and I may be off base on this one, but it looks like last week when the U.S. closed, all the markets did not turn in good numbers. Wall Street did not have a happy ending to their Friday. And it seems like the markets around the region in the large part has picked up on those sentiments and those concerns, except for China. Would that be a fair assessment?
Yeah, because it's very, very different. You've got China looking to find ways to be more accommodative and expansionary in their monetary policy. Mm. Whereas in the US, of course, we're the other side. We're basically looking to increase interest rates. So the big event this week will be the Fed Reserve meeting throughout in the middle of the week. For us in Singapore, the announcement will be very early in the morning on Thursday at 3 a.m. And we're going to be looking very closely at the language, because no interest rate increase is really expected for this coming meeting. I think maybe 5% expectations at the most, but there's still very close to 90% expectations that the Fed will move and start lifting off rates in its March meeting. Now, Jerome Powell, the Fed Reserve governor, has been very big on open market transparency and giving markets as much clarity and transparency as market participants can get their hands on in order to understand the immediate course of action for the Fed Reserve. So we're expecting quite a lot of information, reasoning for a rate hike and signaling of a rate hike in March. That's basically what the Fed Reserve is looking at providing to the market, and that's what the market is expecting. So when you go into really big events like this, which is basically signaling the nth degree to the eventual change in policy direction, markets do tend to be a little bit more volatile as portfolio managers look to manage their positions. Some of them trim their longs, some of them basically reduce their exposures, and some of them even put their bets up higher. So there's always reasons to move, always reasons to manage the portfolios as you come into these pretty big events. Even though it might be a none event after it occurs, investors generally do look to, basically those active managers will basically look to either, it could be taking one position that's long, one position that's short, could be hedging, might not be any directional type of positioning they're doing, but nonetheless, the management of their portfolios is pretty important as we go into these key events.
All right, now before we run out of time, about 25 S-REITs are going to be unveiling results or business updates between today and the 23rd of February for their respective periods ending December 31st, 2021. Some have already turned in their report cards, and we're looking to many, many more. Personally, I am particularly interested in Keppel's reporting, simply because that might determine whether or not SPH shareholders vote their way or against it.
Yeah, Matt, really big week for Keppel Corp. So, of course, the REITs, as you mentioned, for the next week or two, but you've also got Keppel Corporation, the company itself, reporting this week. I think it's on Thursday before the open. And, of course, you have, as we said, you have Keppel Infrastructure Trust, you have Keppel REIT, and you have the Keppel Pacific Oak US REIT and Keppel DC REIT Keppel DC REITs after Monday close today, and then Keppel Pacific Oak US REIT after the close on Wednesday. But yeah, I think Keppel Infrastructure Trust, I think, also on Wednesday, but Keppel Corp really be the big one for you on Thursday, Clarissa.
So I think that's what we're talking about on Friday, no?
Okay.
This has been Market View on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero, joined on the phone by Jeff Howie, market strategist from the SGX, who will be back to join us on Friday. Stay with Singapore's most influential radio station.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance.